This segment with Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule is sponsored by Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, serving Texans since 1952. Edward Jones Investments with John Maddox, Ben Erlinson, Brad Hill, and Brad Wilson, making sense of investments.
Matt Rhule, Baylor football coach with me on ESPN Central Texas. Let's start with Clay Johnston. That his sideline to sideline, his ability to get in the passing lanes, what he did against Tech, and then all of a sudden, pop. How sickening is that?
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. Because he had put so much into it. And it's not heartbreaking because of the player he was, you know, because it was heartbreaking 2 weeks ago when Cole Maxwell went down. It was heartbreaking when Chris Platt went down. So it's heartbreaking when any of these guys have an injury like this, because I see behind the scenes. I see the 12 months of rehab and the 5 a.m. wake-ups and the setbacks and the mental fatigue and all that, especially for him. I think what's hard for him is he knows his career at Baylor's over. And, you know, he'll have a pro career, and he'll be great after his pro career and everything else that he does. But I think for him, just knowing that, you know what, he's done playing with the fellas, I think that's really what is hard for him, and it's hard for us. Just because, you know, we love the guy. He's been here with us, and he's battled with us. But you know what? He'll continue to make a contribution to this football team and continue to help us, you know, move forward. His only thing he said to me is, Coach, I don't want to be a distraction. And there's no distraction from Clay Johnston.
Terrell Bernard is a very talented young man. He made a play like last year a couple different times. Is he next man up? I mean, I know he came in when he went out.
I mean, he started the first three games at Will while Jay Will was dealing with an ankle. And so we'll start Clay, we'll start Jay Will. And, you know, it's really not about one guy. What Clay was doing is Clay was going sideline to sideline and making up for a lot of mistakes of other guys. And so everyone needs to tighten up. Everyone needs to get a 1% better. And so we just need Clay to go, we just need Terrell to go out there and do his job and not have to make up for everybody else. And so if everyone else gets just a little bit better, a little bit more disciplined, everyone picks up the slack, then I think Terrell can just go out there and focus on playing Mike. But Terrell's an excellent football player, and he will step in. Matt Jones is an excellent young football player. He'll step in. You know, we have the guys to get it done.
I like to look ahead. Because you've already spoken about the game. That was about the game. But I saw a play where Jordan Williams missed a tackle. He blitzed, I think, and missed a tackle. Tech scored. It may have taken the lead. And he pounded his fist in the turf. In the past, when a player made a mistake, it wasn't as if they weren't upset, but it was more like they were confused. Now they know what they've done wrong. And is that a fair way to say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a veteran group. And, you know, I think that they, you know, that was a simple play. It was third and one. I mean, we run through and make that tackle, and we're forcing them to make a decision. But, you know, we missed the tackle, and we missed a fit, and Chris ran into the official, you know, or else, you know, so three guys, everything that could go wrong went wrong on that play, and they made a play. And so I think one of the great things about our guys is they all take responsibility when things go wrong. And so we have a lot of things to correct. You know, we've given up a fourth quarter lead twice. That's not our brand at all. And they went 90 yards to do it. But they found a way to get it done. And so we'll just keep trying to get better. Like, my message when we're winning is the same as when it's losing. It's like every week we have to be better this week than we were last week. There's so many things, the offense, the way they started, the defense, the way they finished. We've got to get those things corrected and improved. And we have to do it, you know, bearing through some injuries like Clay and other things like that.
Well, if Charlie Brewer has the ball and you need him to take you on a field goal or scoring drive, is there any doubt in your mind he can get it done?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's elite in those situations. And, you know, I was happy for him. He had a chance to go do it because he had thrown the, you know, I mean, we're about to kick a field goal the drive before and the game's going to be over. And, you know, he throws the interception and trying to do too much. And so he comes back the next drive and just, you know, does his job. And, you know, Treston makes a play and Treston makes another play and Mims makes a play and Tyquan scrambles. And the O-line after the first play gives great protection. And so to me, what you saw was, you know, we always tell our guys, you know, you have to be able to produce your best when your best is required, you know. And so in those situations, we went 99 yards with a minute 19 and really could have won the game in regulation 2 years row and you know, went to overtime. But I thought those guys, especially Charlie, you know what, when we needed them to make a play, they made a play.
In the past, when Baylor's had a big game and then all of a sudden the crowd does swell because people like to jump on the bandwagon. I'm saying that, not you, but and then sometimes Baylor has still blown a tire and it's like in a big moment. How important do you think that was that you had the crowd you did? They were engaged, they stayed, and then you win a game like that?
Well, I mean, I think it was important, first of all, for our team to not be, you know, four teams had gone into the top 25 and then got knocked out the next week. And I thought it was important for our team to find a way to get it done. That was a good team, and I knew it was going to be a tough matchup for us. And a lot of like just sort of matchup ways, we didn't play very well at times, but we played well enough complementary to kind of hang in there. Like, you know, like our specialists are really struggling right now. We're punting the ball 25 and 30 yards. So to flip the field, we needed Fleeks to go out there and take one back 70. You know, we needed our kickoff team to run down there and pin them inside the 25. But, you know, to me, they just kind of complimented each other enough to get it done on that day. But I thought the crowd was awesome. And I thought the crowd – and I think that's a big part of winning at home is, right. is it being loud and it being those things. And so, you know, you want to reward people for coming. Like, you know, I'll never say, please come to the games. No. Like, I'll never say it. What I will say is when you're there, please be loud. And hopefully we reward people for coming with not just a great experience but a great finish. And I just think if you're a football fan, you have to kind of like our team in terms of we're not perfect, but they certainly battle and fight and scratch and claw to get wins.
What's wrong with Isaac Power?
Just young. And, you know, one bad kick sometimes leads to two, leads to four, leads to five, and you get inside your own head. And, you know, he
kind of like a golfer with yips.
Yeah, I mean, you ever been there and you sit there and you videotape yourself and, you know, it's the same swing you've done your whole life. So to me, he just has to either punt his way through it or take a break and kind of catch his breath and we'll put someone else out there and then put, you know, I don't know how it'll go, but he's going to be a great one. And he certainly has the ability to do it. And so you saw Mares. I mean, he missed two field goals and all of a sudden, boom, hits the game winner and, you know, hits the game tire. I mean, he's not getting, you know, that wasn't a great angle either. So he has, you know, he kind of fought his way through some tough times. Mm-hmm. And so Isaac's doing that right now.
You said in the post game. And then the last thing about Tech is that and I may have misread you, but something about maybe the day of the game or something on how you started offensively. What were you trying to communicate there?
What I was saying was we had our best week of preparation.
Okay.
And then I think I talked too much about, you know, winning the game and going out there and physically dominating and da da da. Instead of just, I'm always such a process guy, and there's steps to the process, right? But sometimes you can be talking about, hey, I need us to physically and mentally dominate plays, and guys can start thinking about the results. So I thought I saw a team that was out there trying to win. So guys were doing stupid things. I mean, guys were doing things that they normally uncharacteristically would not do. When your quarterback has no picks and all of a sudden he has three, when you have drops. When you have, I mean, there's a bunch of plays there that we just looked like a team that was playing with a lot on our shoulders. And that's why people get ranked and then all of a sudden, you can, but our team's not a team I'm worried about. Oh, they got ranked. All of a sudden, they're going to just relax. I'm worried they're going to get ranked and say, oh, feel pressure. And the pressure is just to do your job and play hard. And so I thought as the game went on, we got into more of a groove. And we got to halftime. I said, enough. Just go play, man. Like, come on, guys. I mean, you know, go play. And I thought in the second half they went out and played. And, you know, like, things weren't perfect. The guy could have tackled Fleeks at the 25, but he spun out and ran for, you know, got us going. And Charlie's play wasn't perfect. He went to throw it to Denzel, and they doubled him, and he just ran the guy over and scored a touchdown. So we have good players. I just need to make sure that they go out there and have fun.
John Lovett last week said he did not know who you guys were going to play next and did not realize you were ranked. Is that a part of the process?
You know,
it's hard for me to imagine, yeah. But he really, I think, was serious.
Yeah. I think our guys are pretty focused. I mean, they have a lot of work to do each week. You know, we ask a lot of them, so they have to be pretty focused on what's right in front of them. And, you know, you ever spend a day with these guys? I mean, they're up at 6 and they're in study halls and tutors and classes, and they have a lot of things going on. So I think a lot of them just kind of stay with what's right in front of their face. But, you know, John is a process guy. And, you know, he's a guy who's highly, highly focused on what's next.
Oklahoma State, Lubbock, and obviously Norman with the crowd they have. But those are two or three. West Virginia, you've been there. This is a hard place to win again. I've seen Baylor with some really good teams go in there and blow a tire. Your thoughts about the stadium, the environment, and by the way, they're coming off a bye week as well. And they're mad because they lost the game before the bye week.
You know, I woke up this morning. I usually wake up on Monday and have a great feel for how I feel about the week. And I said, you know what? Like, this should be the most fun week of the year for us. Like, we're going in there to a great place, a great atmosphere, homecoming, week off, Tylan Wallace, you know, Sanders, Hubbard, all, you know, all these great players. Unbelievable challenge. Many people won't think we have a chance to win it. And you know what? So it's really just going to kind of be us, right? It's just going to be us who believe that we can go play well. It's going to be us in that crowd there, except for some of our family and friends that will come with us. So, like, this is what you do it for. And so we'll go out there and once the game starts, all that other stuff kind of goes away.
Right.
And the team that blocks better and tackles better and plays better will win. And, you know, we'll battle and we'll fight, scratch, and claw. And it's been, you know, we've played six hard games. We're on game seven. And it's going to be an unbelievable opportunity. I mean, what a great opportunity to go play in a great place versus a great team, you know, national TV, all these things. So I want our guys just to go have some fun, prepare our tails off all week, and play with passion and energy. But I want them to have fun and enjoy this week, too.
Do you think then that because maybe they felt a little bit of that, whatever it was Saturday, that they kind of let – that's gone now, that they can just go play football?
I thought it was gone in the second half. I mean, I thought they – you know, we're going to have a bad half. You know, the great thing – great teams can regroup at halftime and say, all right, hey, what are we doing wrong here? Let's go fix it. So, I mean, we – I'm not sitting here saying like we're the Green Bay Packers. I mean we're still a work in progress. We're still playing a lot of young kids. We're still doing, you know what I mean? But I want them to also go out there and be a team that doesn't worry about all that external stuff. That goes there and just plays and plays football. You know, our guys have been playing football a long time in their lives. They're good at it. I want them to go do it this Saturday.
The style that you play, is it more sustainable than trends that come and go in football?
We're just trying to play defense. We're in. You know, sometimes people think I'm like this pro style. We were in four wides last year, second or third most in the country. Everyone else, except for like Texas Tech. So we played half that game in four wides, and then but you know we put a little bit of two tight ends on the field sometimes to try to get Denzel and Tyquan one on one. But like we just try to play with our players. You know what I mean? We just try to make sure like, hey, how many times has Lovett touched it? How many times has Mims touched it? How many times has Tyquan touched it? Let's get the ball to play. Like we just try to get the ball to our guys. And on defense, we just try to take away what they do. You know, now we can be a little bit better on third down right now. We're not playing great on third down on defense. We're not playing great in the red zone on offense. So there's things that we're, you know, going to keep trying to get better at. What I would say to you is in two or three years, we will be whole at every position. Like we're playing, Casey's out there playing left tackle, and you know he gave up a sack to the 1 yard line. The game was almost lost. You know what he did though? Smoke, he bounced back and he blocked that guy every play for the rest of the game. And so we're playing with some young kids out there. And so my style of play is really just complimentary football. Like, hey, offense, defense, special teams, let's put our best guys on the field, do the best things that we can, and let our guys win. And so it's not always perfect, but they're getting it, and they're improving at it.
I do midway football, and without mentioning the players on midway's football team, because I can't with you, but you have your coaches who get to go watch their sons play. Not everybody does that. And you're not the only one that allows that to happen. How important is that when it's possible? Like Stillwater, they can't do it. But when it's possible to be able to get a chance to go see their sons play football?
God, I think it's vital. I mean, there's this thing out there that you can't be a husband and a father and be a coach because, like, they just don't sleep. I mean, like, he'll be like Coach Snow, wake up at 4:30, but my kids are going to have me around. They're going to see me, and our coaches' kids are going to see their kids play. And no coach is that important that we need them in a hotel on Friday night instead of watching their kids play. So we work around it. But our kids, when my son has a tennis match, I go watch him. You know, if they have a dance recital, I go watch it. What better message can we send to the players on our team than to be fathers? And if you look at our sideline, we might be the only team in the country that has four or five coaches' kids there with towels jumping around, and they're there in the good times and in the bad. And that's my ultimate goal, is to make sure that I'm a great father and that our players see, you know, me try to be a good father and see our coaches try to be a good father. So I want our coaches to go see their kids play every chance they get.
My final question, your team is going to fight, they're going to scratch, they're going to claw. Do you know who they are? Is there a personality for this team six games into it?
Yeah, I think they're a business-like, mature team. I mean, I think that they're playing good defense most of the games. You know, I mean, that was 17-13 with, you know, this, what's crazy about that game is that's Texas Tech. You know, like Texas Tech, we held them to 24 points last year. That was the lowest we had held them to since 2008. And this, we had them to 13. And then we gave up one, you know, we think we have the game won on a safety, and that we go away, the game's over. And then from there, we kind of just let go of the rope a little bit. So to me, we're just a work in progress. We're a bunch of guys that are mature, that are trying to get better, that to take things seriously, that we won yesterday and kids came in on Sunday ready to try to get better. So we have some wars coming up starting this week, and you know it's not going to be easy, but we're a team that I like going to games with, because I know that they're going to show up and they're going to fight and they're going to scratch and claw.
Matt Rhule, Baylor football coach, with me. This is ESPN Central Texas.